This is an interview with Owen Wilson on Thursday, 26th of February 2015. The interview is for the Canterbury History Foundation, funded by the 2014 Canterbury Community History Award. The interviewer is Kim Newth. The interview is being recorded at Ranadale Veterans Care, 59 Hansons Lane, Upper Riccarton, Christchurch. The interviewer will also be taking shorthand notes during this interview. This is file number F001. Now, Owen, actually, what I wanted to ask you first, actually, is what is your Army service number? Can you remember?
44-24-36.
No one ever forgets that, do they?
That was my second number.
Your second number? What was
no,
your first?
You see, when we were 18-year-olds, we had a different number. So as you went over to the Expeditionary Force for overseas, that was the number.
Right, OK. So can you remember the very first one you had?
13-16.
13-16.
Yeah.
Okay.
NZASC, New Zealand
right.
Army
Service
Corps.
Yeah. And so your full name?
Owen William Wilson.
Okay. And your date of birth, I think?
18/4/1923.
Okay. So where were you born?
Pleasant Point.
Pleasant Point, okay.
In South Canterbury, you know that?
Yes.
Yep.
And did you grow up there? No. Did you spend your whole childhood there?
I lived there till I was 18 and went into the army.
Right. And so your parents' names?
William Thomas and Eliza Donaldson.
So it was Donaldson her maiden name?
Eliza Donaldson Campbell.
So Campbell was her...
Yeah, a bit of English and a bit of Scotch in there.
Right, yeah. So, and were they both born in South Canterbury as well? Where were they from?
Well, they were. Mum was from Pine Hill in Dunedin. And Dad was born in Riverton in Southland.
Right, and so what was his occupation?
Builder.
Builder, okay.
His name is on the gates of the Riverton School for he went to the First World War.
So is he, when did they move to South Canterbury?
After he came back from the First World War. His mother was a widow and that she shifted up to Pleasant Point and quite a family of the ones. Two or three of the boys went with her.
So
when he came back, he went there and he decided it was a good place to start out as a builder on his own. So he stayed there until... they actually shifted to the North Island when I was overseas. I was only away 10 months. He shifted in that time.
Right, yep. And was your father... What was his service in the First World War? What did he...?
He was in the medical corps.
Oh, okay. Yep. Was he ever injured himself, or...?
Beg your pardon?
Was he injured at all?
No, I don't think so.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were the medical corps, really, the rescuers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so was he in that war from start to finish?
Oh, no, I don't know what stage he went. Might have been about the middle of it.
Right, yeah.
He wasn't at Anzac Cove. He wasn't in Anzac.
Oh, right,
He wasn't there till after. He's like me, I wasn't there till after casino.
Right, yes, yeah. Shall I put that away for you?
No.
So, so brothers and sisters, yes, did you have many, was it a big family that you grew up in? Or
I had three younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Four boys in the family, and I'm the only one left.
Goodness me! So what were their names?
Norman.
Yeah.
He was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor. And Frank.
Right.
Yes, they've all gone now.
Can you remember what years they were born?
Oh,
might be a bit tricky. Before you, anyway.
Yeah. They were born after me.
It would have been between, like, the end of the First World War, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was born in 1923.
Mm.
Oh, They normally about, there was about 2 years between them.
Yeah.
That'd be as close as I could get.
Right, yeah.
He had a wee spell, and he tried out on me, and luckily he missed it April Fool's Day.
Right, yes.
Come out as an April Fool. I thanked him for that.
Yes, that's right. So where did you go to school? So is it local Pleasant Point?
That'd be all my schooling was at Pleasant Point. I had the first school years, actually, they didn't think I was going to live past 1 year old. They couldn't get me going on anything. Mum's milk was no good, apparently.
Mm.
And I don't know what the hell they got me on to.
Mm.
But the first year at school, I only went half a day because I was so weak.
Mm.
And then
like half a day a week, you mean?
Half a day per week. Yeah, 5 half-days for the week.
All right, yes.
And then the next year I started off as full-time and I blossomed out a bit then.
Right.
And I did very well right throughout the primary school.
Mm-hmm.
I was second in the annual exams to a girl, Betty Andrews.
I still remember her name.
I can never head her off, or Betty, because she was from a family of brainy buggers.
Right.
And they used to call me Woody Woody No Brain.
Mm.
A while ago there, met a couple from the Point. They said, "What the hell is wrong with your head, Wilson?" We always reckoned there was nothing in there.
Oh, dear.
Not, I said, no, there is actually.
Yeah.
I said, I bought a wee memento home from Italy.
Mm.
Oh, so what I was, the dick would be a whole lot in there.
Mm.
Oh, they just had to make sure that there was something there.
Right.
But and I was second in class right throughout my primary school,
mm-hmm.
runner-up to the Ducks.
Clever then, yep.
Yeah. Then the war comes along in 1939, and of course work was dried up. The old man had no work. He was actually sent up to Wellington to work as a group of builders on water fence work. And then from then on, I was the happiest days of my life. I got away from home.
Mm.
See, as soon as we were 18, we had to enrol. And we were called up and examined.
Mm.
And if we were fit, we were into what they call the territorial side of it.
Mm. I was going to ask, before you turned 18, so did you work at all? Like, how old were you when you left school?
14.
14. So what did you do between 14 and 18, if you know what I mean? Was there work?
I was an apprentice carpenter at that stage.
Oh, you were? Yeah. With your dad?
Yeah, until I got called into the army.
So you just worked with your dad around Pleasant Point
when
there was work?
Oh, no, I was a driver, truck driver mad. I was driving for a friend there. We had three trucks in the transport business. Old Doug Brown, well known.
What was his name, sorry?
Pardon?
What was his name?
Doug Brown.
Doug Brown.
Yeah. Three. He came from Timaru and started up out there. And he had three trucks and had a couple of junkers. And I used to put all my spare time in with him. And we'd be carting lambs and that to freezing works. And then the old man, I wonder why I was worn out on the next morning when I went to work. You know, sometimes we didn't get home till midnight. We might go.
And that was just because you liked driving trucks.
I did, yeah. I had a phobia for driving trucks.
Yeah.
And Doug might ring up about 6 o'clock. I'd had my tea, he just pulled in with a load of lambs from somewhere. Then he gives a ring, "What are you doing, Owen?" "Like a trip." "Yeah, love one, Doug." Rightio, I had my heavy traffic licence by then to drive a big
car. So what age were you when you got that?
18. The day after I was 18 I got that.
Mm.
Had to be 18. Mm. He said, "Oh, yeah, I'd like to take these lambs through to Smithfield." That was just aside to Timaru to the work, regional work. And then we'd take him down there and then he'd say, "Oh, there's another mob to go down to Parryora."
Mm.
"You think you'd do that?" "Yeah." "Oh, Christ, he just couldn't stop me."
Mm.
Very old.
So Doug Brown, I meant to ask, was that with an E on the end of Brown? Can you remember?
No, just B-R-O-W-N.
Right, okay. And so that wasn't really your job, but you did it any chance. No, did you get paid for it, or was it just...
No, just labour love.
All right, okay.
Well, then you see, there when you used to get carton in the headed wheat, you had to have a joker driver in the truck. You were driving around the paddock,
mm-hmm.
picking up the headed wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And you had two men on what they called the lazy stick. That was the stick. You walked up there, one man either side, and he laid the bag back on it, then he went over to the truck and he whipped it up onto the deck,
mm-hmm.
and then you had a bloke on the deck stacking them.
Right, okay.
And so I was doing the work for a man, saved him a man, while I was driving this truck around, trying to dodge the cocky's bags from breaking them,
right.
and running over them. I did one or two and got a bit of trouble.
So that's really how you learnt to drive, wasn't it?
How I learned to drive. Yeah.
So you can't. So when you first started doing that work, probably weren't licensed, were you?
Oh well, 14, about 15 probably.
Right. Started. So you talked about.
So you couldn't drive on the road until I had 18 and got a license.
Right. Yeah.
Then about 3 months after I got a license, I went in there. Was called in the army.
Mm.
We all went to Addington. And there's a lot of them.
Like, and how long were you at Addington?
Oh, about 2 years.
Yeah. And what were you doing there? Yeah.
Well, I spent most of the first year teaching jokers to drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's me and another bloke from Lincoln College come in the same night as I did, and we both finished up in the same room. And he had a heavy traffic licence that he'd acquired out at Lincoln College as a student for driving the college truck.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days later, the traffic sergeant called us over to his room and he said, look, we've got all the... There were train loads of trucks and cars came into Addington that they'd bought for war purposes and they had to be painted khaki. As soon as they were painted khaki, they were put out in the middle of the Addington Racecourse, where they built a driving course. And then they come to Wilkie and I. What about teaching these jokers to drive? Teach them to drive. Guy, we said, oh, no. I'll leave it there.
So you had your work cut out. Because there wouldn't have been many of those young guys that knew how to, presumably.
Well, there were a couple of blokes from Akaroa. The terrible twins, we used to call them, different age, but one bloke I taught to drive, he drove the road services bus from Akaroa to Christchurch for many, many years after. So I did a wee bit of good there.
That's right, yeah. And what actual training did you do for the army? I guess you were doing that on top of learning, teaching people how to drive.
Well, no, not at that stage.
Then no.
After they got all these trucks and he's painted up that seat, I got two stripes on my arm. That's just to give you a wee bit of authority over these other jokers because they were raw recruits like us, and they could argue with us.
Mm.
But once we had the two stripes on, we were lord.
Right.
Well, those come off as soon as we finished all the driving things, and then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and another thing, we used to teach to drive ride motorbikes. So I'd had about two motorbikes by then.
Mm-hmm.
And hadn't crashed any.
Right. And so I think you mentioned in our earlier interview that it must have been sometime towards the end of 1941 or perhaps early 1942 you were picked up for the New Zealand Army Service Corps.
That's right, yeah.
So, how did that happen and how did life change with them? Yeah.
Well, that was just purely coincidental because we're all sent draft letters to report to the Addington Railway showground, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to be a transport unit, New Zealand Army Service Corps, NZASC.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't enough trucks to go around. We used to cart petrol and tucker and ammunition and all that sort of stuff. But it wasn't everybody driving trucks, there were blokes. in stores and
right, yeah,
make it up. But we used to.
So how far did you go? Was it?
Well,
you sent all over.
We went away up there, down the west coast,
mm-hmm.
down at Tekapo, Geraldine, had a big ammunition dump in Fairley, over the other side of the Otahe mm-hmm. River. There, the blokes used to go down there for a fortnight at a time, guarding the stuff, and we used to have to take down daily ration to them from. Well, by this time we were stationed in Ashburton.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go from there, Ashburton, and then we'd go and pick up the stuff in Timaru at the drill hall there, and way up, back up to Fairley, then back to our base at
Ashburton.
Yeah,
so quite long days.
Oh, they were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this bloody idiot shot the police up down the west coast about that time. And they had blokes out hunting for him.
That wasn't Stanley Graham.
Stanley Graham's brother, yeah.
Right. No, it would have been exciting. You weren't caught up in that then, directly.
Yeah, well, we were caught up carting supplies down there.
Oh,
frequently,
goodness.
Yeah.
We'd
get out every second day.
Yeah.
Not always the same jokers, but
no, yeah.
Our unit was responsible for keeping up the supplies with.
So that basically was how you spent through to 21.
Yeah, before we went overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's another
So one. Did you sleep in barracks or something? Where were you sleeping in Ashburton?
We started off in Ashburton in what they call the old glassworks. Damn cold show, what? They'd shifted it from Mount Mayfield, where the glass was produced, and started stockpiling it in Ashburton.
It's hard to imagine what an old glassworks would be like. It sounds a bit drafty.
Oh, God. It was bloody the coldest winter ever put in, eh?
Yeah.
Because we only used it as a base. And the windy, big doors were off it. Blow the stuff all around the place. Oh, God.
And you slept there as well?
So, yeah, that's where we slept, yeah.
What, in bunks or...?
No, just on little wooden frames.
Right.
With straw palliasses.
Mm.
Little, like big sugar bags. Yeah, you went to the old hay heap and filled your bag up.
Oh, yeah.
That was your mattress.
That sounds very comfortable. Not very.
Oh, yeah.
No, I suppose you were up at the crack of dawn, were you?
Yeah, a lot of cases you were.
Yeah.
And you got home when it was breaking dusk sometimes. Sometimes. And
So 21, what happened when you...
When I was 21?
Yeah.
Well, I had 3 months out of the army. Things had quietened down. The old fellas had put their pitchforks in their top.
Sorry. Yeah.
They put their pitchforks and rake handles down along the beaches. We were supposed to protect the beaches from Christchurch to Timaru.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we went home on leave, we had to take every piece of armoury we had with us. And if anything signed as the Japs coming down, we had to report to the drill hall in Timaru. But fortunately for us, the Yanks come in up there and sorted them up. And that put a hold on that.
Mm.
Yeah, quieting that down considerably.
It must have felt quite like a very genuine risk, though, for a period of time.
Oh, there was. Yeah. Oh, definitely. The Japs were on their way. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
They didn't want Aussie, they wanted in New Zealand at that stage.
Yeah. So, So you talked about, 21. How did you make that transfer from the Army Service Corps to being drafted?
Yeah, well, they gave us 3 months sort of leave without pay. And then they said, as soon as you're 21, you'll get a letter to report back to camp, which we did. There, 21, that'd be 23, that'd be 44.
Yeah.
44, we turned back up into Burnham for the 2NZEF.
And I think you, did you travel to Wellington then from there?
Yeah, we 21, I'll just say 23, that would be born 23, just trying to think of
the day.
That we went into the posted to overseas draft. We'll go back.
About mid 44 or something.
Okay, I got wounded in 1945, 43. Must have been 43 when we went into the draft, because we went in as a 12th reinforcement, and most of us got left behind because they didn't have enough room on the boat. And we did another session of training, went away in 40.
Must have been 44 that you finally went, yeah.
40,
So I think you told me last time you arrived in Cairo, probably towards the end of 44.
Away in September 1944, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we sailed for Egypt.
And it was on the, was it the Donata Castle you mentioned?
Donata Castle.
So that's D.
Old junk ship.
D-O-N-A-T-A, is that right?
D-O-N-A, Donata. It brought home a bunch of returning furlough men. The first and second echelon blokes had been there all through the... The desert war was over then, when we left. And we went and landed in Cairo.
So the state of that ship, I was going to ask, though.
Pardon?
The state of that ship. You were saying, I think you told me last time there was a story associated with that.
the bloody... See, they had these high companionways, but this, you had to climb over there to your rooms, or your bunk, or whatever you call it. Now, we slept in a great big door, area, which is your dining room, and then at night you slung your hammocks from hooks on the ceiling. And then a lot of some returning blokes going back by then, and they reckon that wasn't good enough to go through the tropics. So they had a committee meeting on the boat, and they had decided they would march on Parliament. So they set up an organised committee, some of these older fellows, and 7 o'clock on the night, they said, right, we're going to march, we're going to get Peter Fraser down here, sort this out. And they about 8 foot high railings right around the wharf, so you couldn't get on them and get it off, the bar through the legal gates. So with the weight of blokes off the boat, they just slowly pushed forward. Bloody big fence fell down.
Right.
We walked over the top, walked up to Parliament building, shouted out, "We want Peter. We want Peter."
So you were part of that, were you?
Yeah.
Were you in with those men? Right.
Yeah.
So you remember that?
In the marching, "We want Peter. We want Peter." But they had a little organised committee to do all the talking. Got on the steps of Parliament, and then some of these messengers come out. "No, don't want you. We want Peter. Go and get him." So they went and got him, and he came down and said, "What's the mother of trouble boy?" "That's the trouble boy, yeah." He was the bloody trouble, because he was a conscientious objector.
Yes.
In the First World War, wouldn't go. Went to prison instead. And they threw all that back at him.
He wasn't well liked for that, was he?
And then he came back. He said, "Righto, all go back to your boat and go into your positions, and I'll come down and see you." So, okay, we get there, go back there. We all hung our hammocks up in these mess rooms. And as soon as he came in, he always wore a bowler hat, a top hat. That was gone about the first push. And the poor old fella, he wears three other sailors, got there and he couldn't walk. Stumbling, eventually got through, and he says, "All right, I'll go back to Parliament. We'll do something for you." So they took about 200 or 300 off it, and mainly married men with three children. They're down to take a married man with three children to war then. And the,
so
eventually sailed.
Right, so you still sailed. You weren't one of the ones that got taken off. You did go on that one.
Black man with three children of that category.
Right, So
I was just young chicken fodder.
Right. But at least it meant it wasn't quite as crowded on board when you...
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So you think that was probably about September 44?
Then we took off for Egypt. They were frightened of submarines out in the Tasman, just outside the entrance of Cook Strait. That's why they held us back.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, eventually so.
And the journey...
Fremantle.
Mm-hmm.
We had a week in Fremantle there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on land in Cairo, and we were based out at Mardi Camp for about three months training.
Yeah, and what were your first impressions of life in camp in Egypt? Were you there for long?
About 3 months.
3 months, right. Yeah, I used to mention that, yeah.
We were trained as infantrymen, trained up as infantrymen, because all our other training had been done as transport drivers. We were complete rookies as far as the infantry was concerned. So a lot of us nearly lost our eyesight there. Got caught in a sandstorm. It has affected me eyesight ever since.
You just got a lot of stuff in your eyes.
They took us away and washed us out.
Was that whilst you were out training you got caught in a sandstorm?
It was all this gritty stuff, you see, and abrasion. It ruined my eyes for life, really.
And what did they teach you at that training? So it was just basic drilling and weapon handling and...
how to protect yourself and try to. We was completely useless to it because we hadn't done none of it. But there was one or two, and then they reorganised. They took out the armoured brigade, 27th Machine Gun Battalion, and the 22nd Motorised Wellington Battalion, and made up another brigade.
Yeah, I think that was the 9 Infantry Brigade. That'd be right.
And that gave them another spare brigade for reserves.
So 9 Infantry Brigade had 22 and 27 in it, didn't it? And then you're saying there was another reserve.
That's right. See, they spread all the machine gunners, a few of them in each company or brigade. And the same with tanks, the Armoured Corps, they were split around. And this Wellington Motorised, they were sort of a transport thing, and they put into extra vehicles there. And... us nondescripts that were the inexperienced, we were just pushed in as bushwhackers.
I think you mentioned arriving in Italy on Christmas Eve 1944. Was that Bari?
That's right. That was where we arrived over from Egypt.
So do you remember how you spent Christmas Day?
Christmas Eve, we were in these camps, it was all leaking. And bell tents then, a wooden floor with a... the old bell type of tent.
Mm-hmm.
We put into them and he come round the next morning and a duty sergeant said, right, all you blokes in the tent and down the cookhouse on fatigues. Oh, about 4 or 5 tents of us. Oh, God. We got down there. They hadn't done a ruddy thing and it snowed. Heaps of pots and pans covered in snow. From the night before.
Right.
No hot water.
Oh.
No, nothing.
So it wasn't a very nice Christmas.
No, that was Christmas Day.
So you didn't really...
So then we got posted to units and I got posted into this new battalion. A lot of them went to the old established battalion, like South. The 23rd Battalion, 26th Battalion, they were both mainly up on South Island boys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot went to fill that up, of juggers who left or got wounded, didn't they?
So were you part of the 13th or 14th reinforcements, or was it...
13th,
right, yeah.
Unlucky for some.
Yeah.
I was actually in the 12th, Mm-hmm. If it's a trade union, should have got away the 12th, but we didn't. They didn't have room to take him. That's where there's the trouble on the boat.
So, how quickly were you able to catch up? You must have gone joined the rest of the division at the Senio River.
At the Senio River, yeah.
So, did you go by truck or?
We went by trucks then.
Mm-hmm.
And we went by trucks up to the Senio.
Were you driving
I never drove a truck. I was over in Italy. A lot of the boys did. My best mate, old Wilkie, he got on the one. He went up to the 26th unit, to the 26th battalion, and they were up in the line on the holding position.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go out and do patrols every night.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to get completely dressed up in these white gear.
Mm.
You know, even cover their rifles with a white cup. Anyway, this night old Snow was picked to go out on the patrol. And he's just about to leave, and he said, "You don't feel too good, Sarge." And I said, "Oh, Christ," he says, "you're bloody yellow."
Mm.
He had yellow jaundice.
Oh, really?
So he got sent back to his tent. He wanted the whole bloody unit wanted to go with him.
Yes, and
sleep the night and try to catch his jaundice.
I can imagine it would have been quite a good thing to have had.
that was the end of his actual war.
So you went. I was going to ask, as you went up to the Senio River, do you remember the state of the roads?
They bombed it for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
See, the Germans were on one side, and we were on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Yanks there, the Yanks killed more than half of a Polish division who were on our side. The Yanks were a bigger nuisance than they were worth because they just flew in, dropped them anywhere and got out.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I actually had a question here. Do you remember the bombing and artillery that went on ahead of the Senio River? Do you remember seeing that then?
It was quite
a spectacle.
We could see that when we were back.
Yeah.
Back about all. Well, I didn't see so much because when we first went up to the Div, they went up to a place at Chiatona Beach.
Which beach?
Chiatona, they called it. There was a beach down on the east coast.
Do you know how to spell that?
Chiatona would be something like it.
Right, yeah.
We're down there and on cookhouse fatigues. And then they decided to use that for semi-permanent. And they said to us jokers who were there, "Well, you can stay on here until you're called back to the Div while we're doing this training."
Mm-hmm.
Send our different mobs to train. And had a great bloody holiday down there.
So that was cooking?
Cooking, yeah.
Yeah.
And lots of vino too.
Right.
Vino.
So what sort of stuff were you cooking? Did you have a particular, like peeling the spuds or like what was your job?
Peel the spuds and cook the veggies and put the meat. So you had big trenches dug in the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then you had rails, bars put over the top, and you had these Dixies, you know, about that long, I suppose.
What's a Dixie? I had to ask, but...
About that wide.
And what was that high, like
and,
a
yeah, and you just
big sat container?
Sat over the flames.
Oh, I see.
It was all petrol fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had about 6 weeks of that.
Right, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Then we go down to the village, you see, and buy a casket of earthenware casket with, last I had a handle on both, one on each side, so you could take it down to the winery and get it filled up, and one bloke on each side carry it back to the camp for
with wine.
Drink up ours at the time. Yeah.
So you were reasonably well watered.
Lubricated.
That's a word.
Then some of the older hands, believe that alone.
Yeah.
Some of the older hands found an 18 gallon keg of Vino Rosso, which was a real dark red. Used to call it the rooster's blood.
Rooster's blood.
That was only drunk as a last resort, if there was nothing else to drink.
Right.
Rooster's blood.
So you mentioned at some point you were moved to armoured personnel carriers. So was that at that time as well? The armoured personnel carriers? So when did you get assigned to that?
That's after we crossed the Senio.
After you crossed the Senio, yeah. Okay.
We were the reserve battalion on that XO because we all... Yeah, inexperienced.
Mm.
The experienced blokes went across and got them shifted off the other side of the bank, and we must have went for a couple of days, I suppose.
Mm.
And then they decided that the ones up in front who'd done the forward work would be relieved and like us newcomers would all come in. Anyway, get to this next river with about a 20-foot high bank. And here's all the Germans sitting up there waiting for us.
Mm. So I was going to ask, because there were quite a few rivers. I was trying to go back through the date. So the next river after Senio was San Terno, and I think you got over that one quite quickly.
No.
Solaro?
That was the finish of me.
Which one?
The first river after the Senio.
Just pause it for a moment.
Maybe not. That's why I was wounded.
Which one?
After the Senio. We never...
Okay, because that would have been the Solaro. Because I was working out, because you were talking about it being the 22nd birthday when you got...
Wounded,
but that would have put you at the Guyana River, because there were like...
No, I don't know. Where did I get the names from?
It's just from a book I had. It just had them...
Well, that'll be right, because I never ever actually found out the name of that river.
Yeah, because there was a Senio was crossed, and
the Senio was crossed.
Then they arrived at the San Terno.
Yeah.
Then the Solaro, and the divisional headquarters got shelled at that point.
The San Terno River, where I got got it, because
you're just not really sure, are you, which one it was? Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm never sure of that name.
Yeah.
And after other breaks with me.
Because Freiburg bombarded that, like the Guyana River, he actually, there was a big bombardment of that river before, and the advance happened in the early hours of the morning, so I don't know, does any of that ring a bell? No.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there, okay.
We were taken in these armoured personnel carriers up to the river banks.
So it was straight after the San Terno, straight after the Senio, rather, you got put into these armoured personnel carriers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because it was quite a distance between the two. We arrived there about 10 o'clock or something in the morning. And the one we were in, they were not driven by Pommies, these armoured personnel carriers.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't really armoured, they had a man on a machine gun.
Mm.
There's not much armour in it.
So why were on that particular occasion? Because you talked about how you're a reserve kind of group. So
yeah,
there would have been people going across ahead of you, though, wouldn't there?
No. The blokes ahead of us were pulled, taken out.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
and we were the reserve, and come in and took over from them.
Mm.
But we never ever really got going because they told me later down the hospital there at Dormillon. And about 85% of our battalion were either killed or wounded.
Mm.
They've had enough to make one company.
Yeah.
85% were
so,
killed.
So take me back through then what happened as you approached this river. Tell me what...
As we approached it?
Yeah.
Well, we were in these APCs, they call them, Armoured Personnel Carriers. And the driver, the operators... machine gun operator on it, and a driver, and they're both Pommies. Well, the Pommy got killed approaching the bank, shot through the... They had wee slots, to peer out of.
Mm.
And back in the days, the slot go right through this hole and killed this bloke outright.
Mm.
Then the gunner bloke, he got out, and I was out, and we sort of... Well, to be quite honest, we were running around with chicks out our head on because there's no experienced blokes there to lead us. We didn't know what we... the next move was.
Mm.
And we got behind a bit of a shelter of buildings that had got blown up. And this Pommy bloke, the machine gun on the APC, he was in front of me, and he said, "Oh, go over here and build a shelter." And he started to walk over there. Next thing, boom, bloody mortar fell right in front of his feet. He was just blown to smithereens.
Mm.
Then I walked away, had a bit of a look, walked away, and then next thing, ping, 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 ping. Felt these bloody burning lead going into me.
Mm-hmm.
And that fell over, tripped over my rifle and broke my leg between my knee and my ankle. This is a midday, beautiful day in the sunshine.
Mm.
Lay there. I couldn't even get the old first aid kits out. Or, you know, we had our own temporary first aid bags.
Mm.
Carried on. I couldn't even get them out. I just had to let them bleed.
Yeah.
And
were there other people, were you aware of there other being other people around you? I mean, there must have been other...
Oh, our three mates killed in action.
Yeah,
And four more died of wounds the same day.
Mm.
And we'd been together for over 3 years in the army.
Mm.
All over in a flash like that.
Mm.
Bloody war. Doesn't do anybody any good.
No. You obviously left there for a very long time.
I was there. This happened at about midday when I got hit. It was 10 o'clock at night before the medics got out, come in to try and rescue us or see what they could rescue.
Mm.
And they were working around in pairs. Their main thing was the idea, if anybody was dead, they'd take the numbers of his... Mm-hmm. He had two IDs, just one of your name, and the other with your blood group. You know, if you want a blood transfusion. And going on, it burned me in the ass. And I started lying there, lying on my back, trying to make out I'm dead. Didn't want too much movement. And I just had my steel helmets and over my face, take the glare off the face.
Mm.
And this mate come and kicked me in the ass. And he turned his mate and said, "Oh, he's at it."
Mm.
I said, "Like bloody hell he is, get me out of here, boy."
Yeah.
I can still see the picture on his face when I spoke.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything.
He thought I was a goner.
Yeah.
So there we got picked up later.
So, in terms of lying there all day, what was going through your mind? And, I mean, were you in a lot of pain? Can you...
No, I wasn't that painful. See, the bullets that have made a wee hole where we're in, it was a burning sensation. I could feel this. The German machine gunners fired at a far faster rate than what our old Bren gun did. And they go, they go, half pace. And anyway, I didn't know what it hit me.
I'll just pause this for a minute.